going to move on to the public hearings. Item 13, horseshoe crab quotas and permits.
Good afternoon. Blue paper coming around to you is the new draft version of Regulation 900. As we discussed at the last commission meeting when we asked for a public hearing on this item, Addendum 7 to the Horseshoe Crab Fishery Management Plan becomes effective on January 1st, 2013. It basically adopts what's known as the Adaptive Resource Management Model. The latest model output allocates 500,000 male only horseshoe crab catch in the Delaware Bay region. Where this region is basically it's offshore from Delaware South off Virginia. And Virginia is going to get about 16% of that male only quota, which equates to about 81,331 male horseshoe crabs. And these can only be caught east of the Colway. Our overall quota is going to go up, and that includes the 81,000. We'll go up by 13% to 172,828 horseshoe crab. Last year's quota is only 152,495. Now, this was noted on page 4 of your draft Chapter 900 in your packet, and also on the blue paper it is the same. That's one change that we have for public hearing today. Another item, as you've noticed in the evaluation package, we talked about the different gear types and license types and what's going on and the kind of the mismatch that we have. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. There's a lot of information on the slide, but I'll just give you an example. Our trawl fishery at the very top, there's three different license types that could participate in this fishery. What's known as the horseshoe crab endorsement license, or the unlimited license as it's sometimes referred to, which has a landing limit of 2,500 horseshoe crabs. A bycatch license for our commercial fishing registration license holders and a bycatch license for our landing license holders. Each of those have a landing limit of 500. So you have 20 HCEL individuals, 68 bycatch with the regular license, and 9 landing license. That's a lot of individuals for a 21,000 horseshoe crab quota. That is one of the reasons why you noticed in the evals last month and again this month that we made note from staff that this is one of the many mismatches we have in our system currently between licensing and the quota system that was established last year. I only use that as one example. We could go through each one of these, but I think you can tell pretty quickly that's what we're talking about here when we talk about this. And in the eval, you noted that we said we would meet with the industry, which we did on November 27th. And I'm going to get to that part in just a second. I also want to just make note, I'm not going to read all this, it's in fine print, it's in your regulation. It's on page 12 of Chapter 900 on the top and the following page right after. These are two things I'm going to bring up. The license moratorium, which went into effect on May 1st, 2011, which basically means that if you had a horseshoe crab license at that time or permit, you were locked in, no one else could get in. The control date, which was established prior, that was established for December 31, 2010. That control date is so that if we talk about either further or new limited entry in this fishery, from that date prior, we would look at the harvest data, not after. So no one could come in afterwards and just basically bump their numbers up to try to increase their standing in the fishery. And actually, the regulation was very specifically written to make sure everyone understood that. The participation of any individual in horseshoe crab fishery after the control date will not be considered in the calculation of horseshoe crabbing rights, should a further entry limitation be established. Staff at the November 27th industry meeting with horseshoe crab industry presented an example of how limited entry could work. So I'll use trawl again, so it's a good example. The trawl fishery has 97 participants that could be part of it right now. And staff was proposing, as an example to the industry, that it could give a scenario where it would drop it down to 20. With a 21,000 horseshoe crab quota, even at the 2,500 landing limit, that's basically a little bit more than 8 trips. Even if you take it down to 20, they can't even all take full trips. That's just how much latent effort, how much overcapacity we have in this fishery. We talked about each one of these with the industry. The only one that night we got some traction with in discussing about possible limited entry or further limited entry was the hand harvest fishery, which currently has 38 individuals permitted to be part of it. And the proposed limited entry idea was to get it down to 15. And the way that would work was is this. You would have had to have had the horse crab permit as on May 1st, 2011, when the moratorium came into effect. And you would have had to show harvest prior to the control date of December 31, 2010. That's how it went from 38 to 15. So that means we only had 15 that met that criteria. We had 23. Move by additional limit. Yeah, we had 23 who did not. 15 of those 23 did not. They were eligible for the permit at the moratorium, but they didn't report any harvest of horseshoe crabs. They just had the permit, but they never showed record of being part of the fishery as far as harvester. The other group, the eight, they also got hold of the permit, but they got hold of it ahead of the moratorium, but they only showed harvest after the control date, which, as I read to you from the regulation, it was prior to control date was what was key here. We walked out of the meeting on November 27th with an agreement with industry members who were there that we should pursue this with the hand harvest fishery. But since that time, we've received quite a bit of phone calls both for and against this proposal. And we will get to more public comment in a minute, but just to make note of, so staff is just putting this to make you aware of the discussion with the industry, but we're going to hold up for a second. We had some other items that day we discussed. One is transferability. Currently, there is no transferability of any permit or license in the horse crab fishery. Someone has it faithfully until they pass. Once they pass, it disappears. And with the moratorium, there's no way to get back in. Moratorium is set in place. So staff offered up that we don't want to introduce a situation where we have all these latent licenses out there, where an inactive license becomes active, and we already have plenty of activity. So we are proposing allowing transfers under a significant hardship basis of health, being called up for active military duty, or the death of a permitted harvester. Now, this is the same language that we utilized in Chapter 490 pertaining to sharks and specifically to spiny dogfish transfer. So we already have precedent to use this style of transfer provision. We also talked about agent use. Now, agent use is such where if I had a commercial fishing registration license, and let's say I had a gillnet license, and I couldn't go out today, I could pass that off to a friend. They have to have both in their possession, and they can go out and work my gear for me. In some fisheries, like blue crab fishery, you actually have to be registered here and be permitted to do that. But in certain fisheries like gillnet, you just have to be as simple as having those licenses in your hand to go agent for somebody else. We haven't had a lot of problems with aging the horseshoe crab fishery until recently, and our biggest issue had to be at the hand harvest fishery. The nature of that fishery and its overnight operation lent to possibilities of some cheating. Individual goes out, they get their quota, sends out an agent, they go get theirs in the same night. And with limited quotas, we didn't want to promote any other activity than necessary. Law enforcement also said this was a major problem to track. So, in talking with the industry that night on the 27th of November, seemed to have come to an agreement that in the hand harvest fishery, there shouldn't be any agent. Trawl, dredge, the other impound net, sure, it's manageable, it's something, we don't see the chances of having a problem. But in the hand harvest fishery, there was more problems there, and we thought that should be restricted and not have an agent. We've made some administrative changes within the regulation. You'll notice in the definition section, the definition of a cull reg line has changed. It now matches what y'all just passed in the previous month for the language in Chapter 752 of the Blue Crab Sanctuaries. Again, the languages in these regulations to match up more precisely. You'll notice there's a new Section 21. Well, basically, it replaces Section 30. We moved it up in the regulation because here we were standing in the regulation talking about things such as licenses, and they haven't even been established until further into the regulation. So we kind of switched and moved that up. We also had to move the penalty section from Section 40 down to Section 50 because we had to make room for the agent provision and for the transfer provision. So we're expanding the regulation. We need to gain some sections. All those are noted in here with pages 2 to 4 on the license requirements for Section 21, page 14 for the penalty change. We have advertised this proposal in accordance to 28.2209 of the Code of Virginia. We had received one written comment to date from Mr. Eric Jason Wimmer. Mr. Wimmer expressed concerns that any further limited entry measures would prevent full-time harvesters from participating in the horseshoe crab fishery. His letter was enclosed in your original packet that was mailed to you. We have had additional phone conversations with industry members since that November 27th meeting, both in support of and also opposed to the proposed measures for further limited entry in the hand harvest fishery. At this time, we'd like to just, Commissioner, take questions, go to public comment, and we'd like to make a staff recommendation after public comment.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Grist at this point? Just to clarify one thing, everyone who has a permit in the fishery was invited to the industry meeting.
Yes.
What was it, last week, week before last?
Ago.
2 weeks ago. And I know some folks weren't able to be there.
Yes.
And I guess that's what resulted in some differences of opinion on.
And some differences from those who did attended, who then called afterwards and rethought the whole provision and weren't in agreement afterwards. And then some who were there and who were still in agreement.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Joe. This is a public hearing. Who wishes to speak? Afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Kenneth Heath. I'm a pioneer on the Eastern Shore, and I hold a permit for horseshoe crabs on the incidental take. I'm opposed of the transfer, the bid of a transfer of license. My son has been trying to work on a water once fish trap. He's fourth generation. He has to wait for either me or his uncle to die in order to transfer his horseshoe crab permit to him. According, as far as the fishery goes, my brother is dead to the fishery. He sold all his pine nets out to me. The only thing he has left is a horseshoe crab permit and his commercial card. I don't see why my son, being a fourth generation full-time commercial waterman, should have to wait until either I or his uncle dies in order to transfer his permit to him. I mean, it's not part-time, it's full-time. And I want to transfer some of my pine nets to him so he can fish on his own, and I want him to be able to sell horseshoe crabs. There's only four people in the pine net industry, and we all have our own quota for the pine net industry. So I'm not speaking for the hand harvesters or the dredgers or the trawl. I'm just speaking for the pine net, and I don't see any problem why he should be able to transfer my brother's quota or his permit to him instead of waiting until he has to die, which I think is a little bit absurd. So that's my opinion on it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Michael Gibson, Chincoteague, Virginia. I'm here to be in favor of the limited entry for the horseshoe crab fishery. And over the last 7 years, there's been like drastic changes to the fishery where it was a sustainable fishery and a manageable fishery. The dredge licenses that came out closed the fishery down early 1 year drastically. In 2010, it was open for 3 days. And I think it was right around, you could have caught only 1,500 crabs at that time because of the extensive people who jumped into the fishery after the control date. Therefore, I mean, I spent more money on equipment and stuff to go horseshoe crabbing than I made. And over the last 9 years, I've depended on that fishery as a source of income, and now it's been getting taken away from us, and I know of at least 12 hand harvesters that all strongly feel over at least the last 5 years, and there's only 15 active members, so 12 of the active members, and that's what it's been for a very long period of time, I'd say at least 9 years. There's only really been 10 or 12. I think Mr. Griff could tell you about how many active participants. I think it's like right around 12. But, so almost all of those members are in supportance with the limited entry. And I feel it would make it a viable and manageable fishery if we lowered that without the late, with all the latent effort and the licenses that came in after the control date. It's just really been, it's been a madhouse in the fishery recently, especially with the price jump too.
Of the 12 people that are active in the hand harvest, do you know how many of them participate in other fisheries?
Yes. I'd say more than half. I'd say it's probably about 8 to 10 of.
Do other types of fishing.
Do other kinds of silver siding.
How about you?
I'm a oyster farmer, and I used to crab pop, but commonly I'm just an oyster farmer, horseshoe crabber, and silver sider. But I oyster for a living.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Plummer?
If I understand right, the limiting amount was determined between the years of 02 and 05. Am I looking at the wrong section? How is the determination made? Who's eligible?
The determination is, one, they would have had to have had eligibility to have that hand harvest permit May 1, 2011, okay. And we have it on record.
Okay.
The second part of that is showed at least one horseshoe crab harvested from 1993 through 2010. Just one. That's the criteria.
Thank you.
And there are 38 people that satisfied.
There's 38 who currently qualify. There's 15 that satisfy that limited entry. So we would go from 38 to 15 if we adopted this.
I would just like to add, though, only 15 of those horseshoe crabbers, they caught one crab in 20 years. That's all they had to catch. I'd say in the history of limited entry, I would say that's a very minimum limited entry, one crab in 20 years. That's pretty reasonable. Yeah, and I just wanted to add that. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I'm Charles Monroe from Shingting. I'm a hand harvester as well. I voted for the limited entry. I voted to cut it back to the 15. The simple reason that a lot of these guys who are contesting this didn't get in this until after this was put in place. They were allowed to go for a year or two. Now they don't want to lose it, of course. That's what the problem is. And right now, this year, we didn't even make our quota. Last year, as Mike said, we only had 3-day quota. 3 days we were done. But we had so many people going out with lights and boats running and going all the time that it actually scared the crabs away. We weren't able to catch the crabs like we usually would. We need to get this back down to a viable fishery again and make it so it works good for everyone. We're not trying to take these people and certainly, you know, take their income away from them, but they got in after the control date. They got in after the limited entry. And the fact is they just don't want to lose that now. Again, you know, it's as Mike said, it's 12 people, 10, 12 people over the years that I've been in this, about 8-9 years, who did this fishery. We did the fishery. We did it right. Myself, I've never had a fine with VMRC in my life. I've never been in any trouble with it. But we do what we're supposed to do. We catch the crabs. We get them to the buyers, and we do what we're supposed to do. I find it, talking to the VMRC, it's a lot harder for them to police this because they have so many different people going in so many different directions all night long. Some people come in here. Some people come in this dock. We all come into a dock where it's lit. We know VMRC is there. If they want to check us and count us out, they can do so. So we're not trying to like skate underneath the table or say, okay, we want this all for ourselves. We were running this fishery. It ran well. When the bycatch permit came into effect, it really kind of just threw a wrench in things. So we're just trying to get it back where it belongs to be and at the same time keep the crabs flowing to who needs them. Any questions?
Questions?
Thank you.
Any other comments?
All right, I guess it's back to staff.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Right, I will, let, before you start, I will say that I got a call from Mr. Wimmer, who the staff had mentioned earlier, expressing concern about moving forward with limited entry on the hand harvesters, and I'm surprised that he wasn't here today. He led me to believe that there would be a number of individuals attending with him to express his views to you. And I think his primary concern was that that as staff has proposed it, it eliminates a number of full-time fishermen from the fishery, people that don't depend on horseshoe crabs for all of their income, but depend on it for part of their income, and that those who would be allowed to stay in the fishery tend to be only horseshoe crab fishermen. That's all they do, commercial fishing the entire year. The rest of the year, they're off as carpenters or plumbers or some other land activity. And he felt like you know, we shouldn't be moving forward at this point until we understand what the full effects are. And I just share that with you because he called me directly, and I said I would. But I'm surprised he's not here.
That's why we made note of his letter, that he was the only one that wrote a letter for the commission also, and we did include that.
But follow-up to that. But for the folks he's talking about, I mean, they had a chance to harvest between 1993 and 2011. And they didn't.
They only needed to harvest 1 pound, correct?
1 pound.
Yeah, if they had the hand harvest permit and
can
one.
Can you go back to that slide that shows? That's it. That was it.
Hand harvest.
Go back to the other one you just had up there. So there, right now there are 38 people that are eligible.
Right. Status quo.
And if you impose the 1 pound of crab limit prior to the control date.
Plus the hand, having had the hand harvest
and
permit.
Actually had the license in hand, you drop that to 15.
Yes.
That's just one crab.
I don't know who he would
right,
be talking
crab,
about.
Right. Pound, right.
I don't know who Mr. Wimmer would even be talking about, to be honest with you.
We had concerns during the industry meeting that, you know, we presented this example to the industry that, you know, why are we going back to 1993? It should only be the most recent time. A lot of these discussions came about during that meeting. But this is about as, you know, this is, goes back to the beginning of mandatory reporting in 1993.
Right.
So we're covering the entire expanse. We're utilizing the control date as the commission put in place previously with the stipulation I read you. And that was put in place to put everybody on notice after the fact. That, you know, this is what the criteria is going to be. So, you know, we tried to keep this as wide open. It was an example of industry that night, and they chose it for this one. But I would like to also add that in that discussion that night, this whole discussion of limited entry on the other four gears is not over. We will be continuing to work with this industry over the next year to solve the other issues and the other ones, because there is overcapacity in every single one of them. We will be sending a questionnaire out to this industry to talk about these issues and get their opinions back and hold further meetings during 2013 to try and come to a resolution on all the gears and what's the best solution for each one. Solution for one may not be the same solution for another, but we need to find a resolution and deal with this overcapacity issue and knock it out.
Thank you, Joe.
Can we, but I'd also, while Joe's here in front of us,
yes.
Would you respond to Mr. Heath's issue? I mean, a pound net's going to catch a certain number of crabs no matter what.
We understand that. And as far as the transferability goes, our whole provision on that goes back to what I stated earlier, is not wanting to turn latent effort into active is the key thing. Same rationale this commission has used with the spiny dogfish permit, where they know they have an overcapacity of permits there, 107 there versus where it should be, about 40. Same situation here.
It sounds to me like you would be more in favor of outright transfers after you address
Absolutely.
Further
potential limited entry in the fishery.
Absolutely, and we made that statement at the industry meeting as well. We would be in favor of that type of transfer system once we dealt with the overcapacity issue, because it is beneficial and it is allowed. But right now, we feel this is the opening to it. There is no transfer now. This at least gets it in place in the event of death or retirement or military active duty. We have precedent for this, and that's why we want at least at the starting place. But we're going to continue this discussion. We've solved this problem within the next year or two, let's say. What Mr. Heath wants could happen that fast. But we need to solve the problem first.
Any other questions? Do you have more to go through, Jeff?
No, sir. I'll just do a recommendation based on the comment we heard. The staff is recommending amending Chapter 900 pertaining to horseshoe crabs to establish the 2013 statewide landing quota of 172,828 horseshoe crabs, to establish a male horseshoe crab landing quota of 81,331 horseshoe crabs for waters east of the Colreg line. Seems like I've left something out. Hold on a second. Y'all, one moment, please, because I feel like there's one thing here that we've missed. I'm actually surprised the staff behind me hasn't said something to me. Let me check something real quick.
Agent.
Not agent. No, that's next. It has to do with the east of the coal regs. I hear a lot of whispering back there about anybody coming up here. Here it is. Pat, let me direct you to, yes. Let me draw you to, on your draft chapter, to page 5 of that draft that passed out. And on page 5, subdivision 2, and this is subdivision 2 of 25E, on the issue, and I apologize for this, on the issue that of the waters east of the coal regs, the trawl and the dredge fishery combined could take that. And if any other gear takes from east of the coal regs, there is a situation where there could be no crabs available, especially for the trawl fishery, to finish up their quota. So the trawl and dredge by themselves could take the entire east coal regs quota, and the trawl fishery is limited to east of the coal regs. There is no trawling in state waters. That is only operating in federal waters. So there is a situation that does exist that if we let every gear in the world go out there and harvest from there, the trawl fishery could get caught short and cannot harvest their own quota. Because we cannot have an overage in this fishery. Horseshoe crabs is a very big and national topic, as everyone is aware of. The red knot being protected up in the Delaware Bay region is a big issue. Staff is proposing, it wasn't part of the show, and I apologize for that, it's my oversight, that the gear east of the coal rig should be trawl and dredge. We brought that up at the industry meeting as well, but I just happened to remember that the last second. That is something, I don't want to get past that. Only east of the coal rig should be trawl and dredge gear. That way, the trawl fishery has no chance of not catching. So, with that, and the other recommendations from staff, prohibit agent use in the hand harvest fishery and allow transfers by the defined hardships, and also to amend the eligibility requirements for the hand harvest permit to do the limited entry.
All right. Any final questions of staff? Seeing none, is there a motion? The matter's before the commission.
This is part of the written recommendation to permit only trawl dredge gears. East of the coal regs, it's in the regs and it's here in the written recommendation. So I would move to adopt the written recommendation submitted by staff.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Sessoms. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the new regulation say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Regulation is adopted.